Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Thank you guys for another day of being here. Thank you everyone who has been coming in, listening, joining in the panel. Thank you. And tonight we are going to be talking about a very controversial subject, but we are going to be trying to get to the bottom of at least the communication gap that is going on about this problem, and we are going to be talking on the subject, interracial relationships, the many facets behind the rage. So many people have a problem with dating outside of their race or other people that do. And yes, on the surface, it's just blatant racism. And we all know that racism is a disease that comes from ignorance and just some bad things. But there are a lot of things that go with the culture, specifically the African-American culture, that have never really been understood because people are so busy reacting to the reactions that they get or listening to the statements. And strangers don't really try to sit down and talk to each other about where that's coming from because, frankly, if somebody walked up to you and said something to you, you're not really going to be thinking about, you know, getting to the bottom of why this person would say such a thing. But tonight's topic is going to be trying to get to the bottom of it. So I'm hoping that all of you people out there that have an experience or a viewpoint on the situation will call in because we do need to get to the bottom and try to understand each other. Now, before we do, you know how we do this, folks. Let's give our thanks to the people who helped make this happen. So I'm going to start that out. Let me start with Mr. Barry Mason. Mr. Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio in New York, currently with iSoulRadio.com. He can be heard on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m., giving you the best of classic and modern-day R&B and dance classics and love classics and everything else. And you know when you hear him, you love everything you hear. He is also the CEO of Track One Entertainment. And on Wednesday, September 18th, he is going to be revisiting the Brooklyn Terrace. Now, those of you that had the joy of being there on August 21st, you know the venue is beautiful. You know the events are always great. You have a great time. You will be able to go right back there again with the new event. The group Double Exposure will be the featured performers. You can look on Facebook and see that he has all the flyers up announcing the event. You can hit me up, Katie Barnett, on my personal Facebook inbox, Katie Barnett on Facebook, and you can also see Mr. Barry Mason. Those of you that are my New York friends out there, you know, you can come and see me. Those of you that know where I live, you know where we're at. So give me a call. Stephanie Hammond-Tillette and Marcia Morgan of Simply Sensational Inc. Entertainment, thank you, ladies, for all the things that you have done. Let me give a special shout out to my team, Miss Lady Elaine Yeves, Lady Diamond. She is one of two people, Mr. Monster Miles is the other, that goes above and beyond their time, their leisure, and their hearts are always in it trying to find these topics that we come up with to discuss with you, give you a forum, give you some information, whatever it takes to help progress happen in a positive manner, that's what we like to do. Deacon Zeddy Williams joined us yesterday beyond his illness, and he helped to bring in his contributions on the subject that we spoke about yesterday, which was the NIMBY disease, no voice, no youth, speaking about how people just think about whatever goes on in their own personal circle and how it later affects everyone because the community affects everybody. So hopefully we can hear from him today because he always has some great insight on the subject. Definitely we're looking forward to hearing from Lady Diamond. And all of you that are out there, 347 327-9967. That's our call-in number here. If you want to speak to me, just press 1 and you will show up as a caller in queue. So, you know how this goes, guys? We're going to have our early commercial break, and we will be right back to get this discussion started, okay? Here is Dave Hollister with Striving. Be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Little song we got called Striving. You gotta keep moving. No matter what the obstacle, no matter what the test, you gotta push through it. He'll help you.
Every day of the week, when I'm sleep, you got his angels rocking over me. Everything for me, looking out for me.
Looking for some healing, not a fake feeling. Tell me, do you feel me? I didn't know who to call, no friends at all, till I heard a voice in my head. It said, keep pressing on, and keep striving, striving on.
Now, back with more on The Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On The Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, that was Dave Hollister with Striving. That's a very inspirational song, and I love the lyrics to it, and the beat's not bad either, so we are definitely great to hear that. All right, we're going to get started, folks. We've all seen it. We've seen the looks, you know, discrimination, racism, prejudice, bigotry, all of those things are alive and well, whether it was from the way our ancestors dealt with it, with blatant outright statements being made to them or physical harm being put there. We know about the history of the African Americans and the Indians and all these other things. So all of those things that our civil rights history says was taken care of through fights and through different changes in laws. We all know, with all reality being said, whether we are approving of this or not, that racism is still alive and well. But tonight's topic, while it is about interracial relationships, we're going to try to explore the reasons people don't talk about or don't care to discover as to why there's such a huge hatred for interracial relationships with a lot of people. Now, there are two articles out of the four that I've looked at that I will be referencing throughout this discussion. Now, one of the things is that it is about blatant racism with some people. You know, we've heard mainly, let's just look at the main ones, with blacks and whites being romantically intertwined, okay? We know that there are a lot of, you know, old-timer racisms and coming from both angles for whatever their reasons are. And we know what we read. We don't really know what people did back then and actually were in it. But today, there is a hatred undercover. People can't just say it straight out, you know, that you're an N-word or you're a white word or whatever it is. That really can't be said without something coming from it. But it's still alive and it's still well. Okay, my viewpoint is, frankly, if you fall in love with someone, you can't help what you feel. I understand that. You can't help what you feel. Okay, if you are truly involved with someone because it's a love match, that's one thing. But if you are a person who came from struggles in a race, and it doesn't matter which race it is, and while you were struggling to achieve whatever big dream you had a person that you were with when all you had was a satchel with a hole and a couple of socks and maybe a dollar or two, and that person stood by you and supported you and sacrificed for you and loved you. And everything that you might be using as an excuse now for not being with that person once you went out there, got successful, and found something that you deemed fresher, newer, and better, were okay during the time that you were struggling and benefiting from the support of that person, okay, then I have a problem with that. Now, our co-host is on the line. I'm going to be bringing her in so we can start our panel discussion, okay? Hang with me, listeners. We'll be there in 2 minutes or less. Katie Diamond, welcome to the show. Are you in?
Yes, I'm here. Hello, everyone. How are you?
Okay. I'm going to need you to adjust your mic just a little bit because I'm not hearing you too clearly.
I'm sorry. I'm here. How is everybody?
Yeah, it's still a little muffled, but we'll try to get to the talk a little louder. Okay. We're talking about the reasons why people resent interracial relationship. So, what is your take on it from your point of view?
Interracial relationships, meaning black and black, white with black and white, or black and Hispanic, and like that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to get it clear. I don't see anything wrong with it. I really don't see anything wrong with it, even though I can't say only from where my family's from where everybody else's family's from. Do you hear me clearly?
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, say that again. No, it's still a little unclear, but I got the gist of what you said. I'll try to repeat it to the listeners.
All right. So I don't see a problem with that at all. I really don't. I mean, with my family, I can't say my family, but I guess everybody's families, our ancestors were used to sticking with each other, you know what I mean? And growing our own, you know, families. Like, you know, if this family, if you're from DR, you stick to your own, usually. When you're from PR, you stick to your own. That's what, you know, we're used to, you know, we're used to doing. And then now it's like, okay, if this person you're with is not from this place, he has to be lighter skin. Or if this person is not from that place, he has to be at least darker skin. So, yeah, I mean, that's still going on to this day. You understand? You hear me, Katie?
Yes, I can hear you, and you're absolutely right. Listeners, if you had a problem, she said that, you know, even nowadays, you're hearing a lot of interracial problems because people are saying that you should have dated somebody that had lighter skin or you're better because you have lighter skin, and all races, pretty much. It's she and I both share the Latin culture, and I also have African-American blood. I have heard the interracial forbiddance from both ends. I have a mother that grew up, she is one of five children, and three of the children were, they tanned easily, and the others were more lighter skin, fair skin, and they didn't. They would burn in the sun. And she got pretty much tackled with a lot of insults from my grandmother because she was too dark, quote unquote. So when my mother grew up and, you know, fell in love with my father, there was a lot of racial tension in there. But the thing is that is an example of just blatant racism. It's a blatant thing where it's about the skin color and it's about, you know, the hair texture and it's about the lips and the thickness of it or lack thereof. My problem with interracial relationships is only this. Too many, and this is the thing I would like all of my listeners out there that spoke with me when we had the racism segment, that I promise you this follow-up show so that you can understand where some people are coming from, because these are shoes you have not walked in. And even though it's still no excuse for anyone being blatantly outright racist or forbidding anyone to hook up with who they see fit to hook up with, you still need to try to understand a person from another angle. And especially the older generation who has sustained all the injuries and the insults and the backlash of blatant racism, the disease that happens simply because there are differences, okay? This is what they feel, okay? When they were slaves because they were considered garbage, ugly, monkeys, animals, savages. Their babies were taken straight from their mother's arms and either sold into slavery or killed because they got on the slave master's nerves. Everything black was considered disgusting. But now, you know, but even back then, there were slave master's wives that wanted to partake in whatever the black man was interesting enough to her about. And yet, when she got her pleasures off, if they were discovered or she was discovered, it became a thing of rape. But nowadays, it seems like, you know, after all, this is what I'm being told from older generations, everyone. Okay, so nowadays, it's like after all that they went through having to hide out and defend their culture, and where, you know, white people wouldn't have touched them with a 10-foot pole. Now, all of a sudden, it seems like as soon as someone in our race gets successful, they are either conditioned to leave that strong black partner that was in their life when they had nothing but a laundry bag and was taught that in order for you to be successful and make it in the successful world and look successful, you need to leave that behind you and go white or go different or go outside your culture. And that is a problem that a lot of young women as well have, younger meaning in the 30s and the 40s, have. They've been behind these men and these women, a lot of the women too. I see it more too, though, with black men going outside their race when they get successful, more than I see it with women, but it happens all over the place. So one of the things that I hear is, I've been by his side. I was the one that was, you know, going through finding, you know, all the loans and the people he could sign up with and all the opportunities. It was me. And I agree with that part, especially when these women were the same way when they were helping these men. Whatever their problems were that the guys are listing now was no problem with them when they were taking whatever benefited them to move ahead. If they were loudmouthed, if they were, you know, a little too bossy, if they were snotty, if they were a little too wild, whatever it was, was simply okay with them when they weren't successful. Okay? So when I hear, which is one of the articles I'm going to bring up, a lot of these successful Black men saying things like, I wouldn't date a Black woman because a Black woman is loud. Well, try to understand it, that those of you that don't know or would never be a racist and to hear it upsets you, understand that we have to be tough. We have to be tough. There are things that we endure that are through no fault of our own other than who we are. We are required to be twice as tough and think outside the box just to make our kids eat or ends meet. Because everyone judges us. They forget the characteristics. People just judge you because the first thing they ask you on an interview is, what race are you? Not an interview, an application. Whether you're doing it online with today's technology or you did it back then on paper and pen. One of the questions they ask you, which shouldn't make a damn difference, is, what race are you? Now they have it where you can decline to answer. So the thing is, rather than being judged on the character that you are, you're being judged by what people stereotype it to be. So for those of you that don't understand, that's where a lot of the other resentment that has nothing to do with just race comes from. Now, I have absolutely no problem with anybody coming together because it's a love match. We spoke with Donna Knight, who's a perfect example, because she's a white woman married to an African-American male, and they have a son. And she's experienced that. Now, she's a wonderful woman. But for those of you that have never walked being the victim of racism, blatant racism, you don't understand why people react the way they do. I have a problem only when everything about that person was fine. Their mouth, their attitude, their loudness, whatever it was that was okay for 20-some years, the day that you made your dream, the day that you got that big break, it wasn't that person you thought to bring along with you who helped you start the dream. Because you've been conditioned that, I'm going to leave that alone because I want to go to where I feel is bigger and better. Bigger and better is not a person's race. It's a person, period. Because with your success should be your good character to make the success all the more successful. You're a Latina. And what have you seen from that side of your life, where if you was to start talking to anyone that was not, you know, Puerto Rican or not Spanish, what would you get from that? And what have you heard from people around you that you deal with that see other people in that situation?
For me, I want to give you the right answer for this one. Repeat the question, Katie.
I want to ask you, I said, you're a purebred Latina. So I know from my half of being Latina what kind of slurs or things come out from that field. So what have you seen? Let's talk about the people that you hang with just as friends. What about, you know, family members, older, younger? What kind of reactions do you get if either you decided to date somebody outside of your race, or from those people who saw other couples in the park or the store or whatever? What have you heard? What have you experienced?
Well, what happened with me was that there was like a few times that I would date someone that is like a little darker than me. You know, and you know, I'm fairly tan skin. You know, we're both like the same skin color, right, Katie? I think we're both the same skin color. Maybe I'm a little darker than you. You know, and lately, if someone darker, I can't say my parents, but I could say my grandparents, they'll look at me like, you know, let's kind of going to go back, you know. It's supposed to be going, to them, I'm supposed to be going forward to a more fair-skinned type of color than dark skin. You know, so, and then if I go to someone lighter, they're like, okay, now, you know, you're moving up. You're actually doing something right, you know, according to them. So, I mean, with me, it's basically like that, you know. And with my friends, it's the same thing. I have a friend, her name is, she's actually an old coworker of mine, Janelle. And she works in a showroom across from me. Her ex-husband, she's from Jamaica. She's a beautiful woman, beautiful. And she was married to a guy, and I forgot where he was from, but he was fairly light-skinned, a little lighter than her. And he would not, never introduced her to his parents. And they've been married for 2 years during that time, not a divorce. They've been married for 2 years of that time. He never introduced her to his parents, and she didn't find it a big deal or anything like that, but you know, she's like, you know what, it's no big deal, one day I will meet your parents. And it's to the point that when his brother actually met her, he was like, wow, I was expecting your skin color. I was expecting lighter. His family, they don't want him marrying someone who is darker than him. And she's from Jamaica. If you met Janelle, she's a beautiful woman. And I'm like, wow, someone actually turned you down just because of your skin color. And the way he's talked and everything like that, you know, his parents, they were okay with it because they heard her over the phone. And they're like, you know what, if he shows that he is with you and married to you, they will turn their back on him.
Which makes absolutely no sense. They have children, so now the children are going to be deprived of a grandparent relationship because somebody simply can't take a physical difference. You know, it's atrocious. And the same, as I said earlier, you can't help where your heart goes, all right? My problem is when you are not giving your heart the option of a true choice. Now, if you have been conditioned to believe that going outside of your race is better, shopping in certain areas is better, looking a certain way is better. Tyler Perry makes movies that touches on these struggles often. One of them that I just saw for the fifth time, I guess, the other day, reminded me of just the type of stupidity that goes on. One of the things was Madea's family reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that this mother had her two daughters, and one of the daughters was light-eyed and light-skinned and, you know, long with what my culture likes to call, quote, unquote, good hair, you
mm-hmm.
know, down. And she was, you know, exalted. She was praised. She was worshipped, you know, at the expense of her darker sister, being the negotiating chip between the other sister's father who had money and would only stay with their mother if she allowed him to sleep with the other daughter. So it was like, you know, the way that she groomed this girl to have the finest ballet schools, the finest whatever, as if that's what makes a person. So this person could have gone to the, you know, horseradish and red onion salad gourmet restaurant, you know, the sushi shop, the caviar, the champagne, and treat your son or your daughter like a piece of garbage. And that's okay because they're cultured to the world's eye. When love is supposed to be just about what you feel and what you're willing to go through and what it is that you will stand by this person with. Now, there are two articles that I came up with. And this is the ignorance that annoys me with interracial relationships, and that's the only problem that I have with it. There is an online magazine called Regal Magazine, which is a magazine that they have strictly for the viewpoints of African-American men. All right? So the question was, what is it with black men and interracial relationships? Now, just to take a couple of highlights from two different opinions, there's a man named Terrence who is an attorney and a writer. Listen to what I said, listeners. He's an attorney and he's a writer, two of what society would deem as prestigious roles in society. But he is an African-American male who will only date white women. He says their skin, hair, and eye color are the most attractive of all women. They understand my emotional and my physical needs. They're queens as far as I'm concerned. Now, in the world of, I want to be clear that this is based on things that I've seen and what mostly is put in our face and based on experiences that have been told to me by guests and has been done to me in my face. Interracial connections in the white race is not highly accepted quickly. All right? Broadband, you know, a broad spectrum across the board, very few interracial marriages were accepted without a whole lot of rigmarole. You know, before you got to the point of just saying, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. Welcome to the family. Whereas other cultures might look strange at the person you're bringing in that's not of their race, and they'll be a lot more accepting about it. They might have a lot of jokes in the process, but in the end, it is who you're with. Now, this man is saying what he's saying, and should he marry one, he might come up a very large odds that he's not going to be accepted. Unless he agrees to do a lot of alterations to himself that at least make him acceptable or tolerable. Okay? Then there's another man in the same article who said he would never date interracial again. He's dated all types, white, Indian, French, Persian, a whole rainbow of them. But he prefers his black queens. Okay? He understands that the struggles of, you know, the minority woman, especially in African-American women, well, what they go through, and that's what makes us a little more open. We're a little more tough with certain things. We will tackle things that, you know, other people will whisper and walk away from and talk about quietly in a corner. Meanwhile, nothing's being done about the situation. Yeah, maybe we'll come out our face and say something a little too brutally or a little too straightforward, but we say it because we've been dealing with having to be in a corner for so long simply because we are who we are. Okay? Does that give anybody the right to simply, you know, have a disgrace against a person simply because? No, not at all. But for those of you who don't understand, this is why. This is what's been put out there. This is what has been presented as the way it's supposed to be for too long. People are people. God made everybody people. God didn't say that anybody on earth had the right to feel that they were above anybody. He said that was for him to decide. That was for him to decide. So if somebody met a person and they've been a person that hasn't dated anybody or has dated people, and no matter what they did, their dates just didn't turn out to be fulfilling for whatever reason, and they met somebody who just happened not to be in their race, and it was a love match, and they're together, and this person will support them and love them, be faithful to them, have children with them, do all this, by all means, God bless you. But if you're doing this because you feel that the image of where you've come from your humble beginnings, from your poor beginnings, from whatever it is, doesn't fit in with the big picture of success, you're nothing but a dog. Mm-hmm. Everybody is a person. Everybody bleeds red. I don't care what your outer color is. When you get cut, there's no green coming out. There's no perfect white snowflake blood coming out. You're going to bleed red. If a disease hits you, it's going to hit you whether you are black, white, striped, polka-dotted, yellow, tan, it doesn't matter. But if you go out there and you cut off your options, you take a candidate out of the running simply because it doesn't fit in with a dream, it doesn't go pretty with the picture that you're painting on your wall, it doesn't go with what's better than, and all you have to choose from is what you perceive to be the best, superior, above it all, you're going nowhere. And that's ignorance. Interracial dating has so many benefits to it, whereas a lot of things that other cultures do can be blended into what you don't know. But it's not about judging them on their race. It's about judging them on who they are or choosing to deal with them because of who they are, not what they are. And that's where the problem with interracial dating and resentment comes from. I understand the pain behind people feeling that we finally got over being, you know, just called nothing because we're dark-skinned. But now they want to come in and take this too, and they wouldn't have thought of us no other way but to use and throw away. I understand that. I understand the pain of it, especially to those that walk that walk. But in the end, you can't help who you love. But that's what it should be about. It should not be about that you're going out there to look for something other than your race because you are deeming your race to be less than perfect when you get successful. And that goes for any race, really. But the truth be told, certain races have it harder than anyone else. And not for nothing, and not for conspiracy, the black Americans have it the worst. And now, let's get over to the other article, which this is for races in particular, and how you are self-destructing yourselves even without the interracial relationships being a factor to talk about. Kim Barnes is a blog writer, and I believe her name is, I mean, her blog name is Bama Blog Unite Mouth of the South. Okay? Yes, as a matter of fact, it is BamaBlogUnite.blogspot.com. You can find this article called You Hate Interracial Relationships, Yet You Love the Product of One. Okay. So, she says, African Americans hate when, let me get this right because it's loading a little slowly here. She says, African Americans hate to be called certain names, okay, hate when people go outside their race, but yet they're the first ones to say things against each other like your hair is too nappy. Good hair, you know, they're the first ones to pursue. That's the word that I wanted to say earlier. To pursue what they feel is better about another race. The straight hair. They're forcing their little girls to wear silky front lace, you know, lace front wigs at 5 years old so that they can look better. They're forcing these girls to wear, you know, extensions or weaves or whatever it is. They're telling them that body shapes is not acceptable or could be better. Okay? So while there is, while they are worshiping the very thing that they talk against, you know, it makes them look hypocritical. Okay? Another thing she said was she's sick of the racial sensitivity among them because they're the first ones to talk about whose skin color is too dark, too black, what's better. They chase the lighter skin, fair skin, blacks in their own race. Okay? But she did say, now if somebody white lynches a black person, she's all for hinders their civil rights or anything like that. She's all for you fighting for yourself. But if you're going to be the first one calling yourself the same word that you, that an outsider can't do, or that made our ancestors cringe, or have skin issues, you have these 5-year-old girls lightening and bleaching their skin at 9 years old. You know, giving them the idea that it's better to be white, even though you're saying you don't like this type of thing. I get exactly where she's coming from. You know, and like she also said, she doesn't have a problem with interracial people if they're good to each other and they respect the people. Same here. My problem is, like I said, if you have been a black person that was struggling, that was hustling, you know, picking up bottles and trying to put them in the refund machine to get money to eat with, and somebody loved you through all of that, okay? Somebody stood there and tried to support what made you happy with the dream you've been trying to do for so long. Who the hell are you to sit there and say that now that you finally achieved that dream, more than likely on their sleepless nights backs, more than likely from when they couldn't eat because they chose to take something from them to help you fund that, you know, class that you could have taken. Who the hell are you to say that now everything that you are using as an excuse to have left them behind when you knew that it should have been them at your side to enjoy your celebration? To say that that's all the reasons why you don't want to be bothered with them. That's my problem with it. You don't get the right to say that when she was being a loudmouth all those years ago, that when she was walking around and eating too much food or didn't do this or do whatever, all of that didn't bother you when you were poor and nothing. But the day that you've achieved it and you're about to go get the biggest moment of your life and your career, your choice, your deliberate choice is to go find somebody with fairer skin, skinnier bodies, quieter mouth, prettier eyes in your mind, or, you know, a more subdued attitude, who didn't have 1 ounce of the struggles that it took when you guys had to sacrifice either going to the movies or buying some clothes because your tuition cost a certain amount and you didn't have enough financial aid. They didn't go through any of that struggles, but they get to reap the benefits of everybody else's sowing. Now, how much different from slavery is that? But by all means, if the person that stood by you became just a rotten person, stopped believing in you, started insulting you, for real, not because she's reacting or he's reacting to some hurt you put on them, but because they just started changing one day. And it's about that time that you're about to walk that mile and that big, big break of yours, and that's when everything went sour. Well, by all means, you found somebody that was with you that you love, go with them, they're people. By all means. But if that was your scheme and your intention from day one, it makes you no better than the ignorant people that all this crap started from. It makes you as low and messed up and full of garbage as they are. I've seen things that make no sense. I have seen people call names to a couple with their child that did nothing but allow their other kids to come and play, and even support kids in the park, allow their child who they've afforded certain things for to play and share and do whatever with no problem. And because people are so dead stuck on racism and their own problems or their own failures, they have something to say about it. But if I see that very person looking around the park that they're sitting in as if we're only here because we have no choice because my husband or my wife is from this area and you're being graced with me allowing myself to be here, then by all means, I say go for it. Throw whatever dart you need to throw at them because that person is just a piece of crap.
Oh.
But should interracial couples be resented simply because I don't think I agree with that?
I don't agree with that either. Interracial couples have every right, just like any other couple that's out there. I mean, if I can use as an example, Obama, right? His mentality, how he grew up, he went with a woman at the same color as him. And so their mentality is more like, I guess I could say, like a Caucasian mentality. They were able to go up further to where they're ranked up now. Then we could also go back and we could also use a Chinese girl going out with a Jamaican guy. And if they could tune in together and they could do just fine and have a child who's Jamaican Chinese, by all means, I think it's great. Actually, a lot of kids, you're like, wow, where are you? And they tell you all these different nationalities, and they're beautiful things, you know? They're beautiful little human beings. You know, I see no problem with interracial couples at all. Now, like I said before, I mean, if it wasn't so much of our ancestors trying to push forward to make us, like, going from, okay, we started from this skin color, we have to be lighter, or we have this eye color, we have to be lighter, I just wish that we didn't look at that so much. You could just go look and say, okay, you know, I could go with whoever and not think about, okay, I'm taking a step back instead of taking a step forward, you know? And, I mean, it shouldn't be like that, but it's like, I really don't know how it's done, but, I mean, since the African Americans, the black were in slavery, and it's not only that, I mean, the Indians were in slavery, too. It's like to the point that they don't want to be noticed as that skin color anymore. They want to go lighter. And you see, Jamaicans, blacks with hazel eyes, blue eyes, and everything is contact, and no, it's their eye color. It's like they want to get to that stage of, you know, being close to looking Caucasian. They don't want to be referred to as black anymore or as African American anymore. You don't see that. You see that when you go to certain schools or colleges, you see that most of the mentalities already, they're already pushing themselves as a white person. I mean, I didn't say it like that, but it's true. They're pushing themselves to sound like them too. You know, and it's like, you know, it's already to that point that, you know, it's already too late right now. It's already too late. But I don't see anything wrong with interracial couples. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Indeed. You know, I say that. I think, like I said before, this world should not be all about a specific here or a specific there. You should take the specifics and find out what makes it a problem, what about it is a problem. Like I said, look, there's too many proof in the pudding examples about certain things, which makes me understand why it is a lot of African Americans have a problem. Because, okay, let's take a look at the athletes. Let's take a look at most of the successful men and women that are out there, okay, where the older people are saying, you know, now that we finally overcome the worst type of imprisonment there is, which is the imprisonment of humanity, of just being a human being, okay, now we're talking about, you know, you're going to finally achieve something that we were never allowed to even think of doing, and then when you get there, you're going to marry them or you're going to go out to them. I understand that. Yes, that is a hell of a pain. And you know something? Those of you that don't understand that culture, that part of our culture that is very alive and well, it's a very real thing. And a lot of people, I can understand modern-day discrimination. I could never begin to fathom what my grandmother and great grandmother went through when this was a different time for racism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm going to make my viewpoint clear again. Do I have a problem with interracial couples? Not if it's a love match. Not if it's something that you went through your life with, and this just happens to be the person that God brought to you. I absolutely have no problem with that. My problem is when it is a premeditated cut to your race to go there once you got big, after getting big on the backs of the race that you came from. And now let's take a look. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods. Now, at least Michael Jordan started out with his wife that he's been with since high school. Okay? Where did it wind up, though?
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan. Let's look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods said that he didn't even feel that he was black in any way. He was Caribbean Asian, I believe, was the race he made up.
Yeah, he was mixed.
Okay, right. But he's mixed with several things, so you can't deny either part of it. All right, well, he married outside of his race, and he's accomplished something that the black race wasn't even allowed to be considered as a sport blacks watched.
Yep.
Lamar Odom.
Oh yeah.
With Khloe Kardashian. All of these people, once they got big, went outside the race. Now, do I specifically know for sure it was a love match? No. Does it look like it was? Not at all. Not never. So you come from a race that struggled. You've achieved things that have never been thought of being allowed if you were even thinking of it at one time. You would have been shot on sight, if not tarred and feathered and forced to die a slow, painful death. And you get there, you achieve it, pass all the odds and all the obstacles and all the forbiddances. And where you go is to the very people who were the people that said you can't do it. That's where that mentality comes from. That's the part of that particular resentment for interracial couples that our older ancestors have, because they walked that fight. For those of you that don't understand, for all of my listeners that inbox me with their, I don't understand why racism exists, why can't it be just about who you love? That's the problem. For these particular instances, it's never just about the, it's who you love. This is what they have cut off where they came from. Who was there for them when they had nothing, as I said before, but a laundry bag with a couple of dirty socks and maybe $2 in their pocket at any good time. When that strong woman stood behind them and said, baby, I got your back. Go to sleep and I'm going to look up on in the library or whatever where you could go to be seen and get that chance. Don't worry, I love you even if you're poor. But as soon as they got everything that it took off this person's back and got to the big place that these two people were fighting for, and giving up going out for, and giving up eating for at some time, crying when they didn't know where they were going to go, being told they were never going to be nobody. As soon as that person that they sacrificed stuff for got their big break, this person that stood in the sidelines is no longer even a desirable option to be in the vicinity of the red carpet that they're now walking. That is my problem. Not whether or not it was a love match or that you fell in love with a person that's Asian or a person that's white. My problem is, if this was not a love match, if you conditioned yourself to say, I'm big now, and you don't fit in my jeans because you're too much like the old days, too much like the poor folks, I don't want to look like that around people. And for those of you who are out there, you men that told Regal Magazine that you are don't like black women because they're loud and they're bossy and they're this, you stop and think about where you were before you got to be an attorney with that same loud person that you loved very much when she was giving you her money and she was standing behind you when everybody told you you were a fool for trying. She was there saying, don't listen to them. You're the best to me. When even though she wasn't rich, she gave you all of what she had, if not most of it. And suddenly, she's trash because you are in the world of caviar. But when she was making Kool-Aid and she was scraping up whatever she could come up with and making potatoes that looked great and it tasted good and it definitely filled your hungry stomach. When she was sleeping with you and loving you beyond your wildest dreams, you decide to turn around and say, that person is too black and not enough for me when it goes out in the real world. If I want to be successful, I've got to work and look the part. That, ladies and gentlemen, who didn't understand, is why that part of resentment comes up for interracial relationships. Because, to be honest with you, that's no better than a slave master thinking that we were able to work their field and give them the best that we could do with the knowledge that we had, that they did not. But we weren't good enough to be people, to walk, to ride in their cars with them, to be able to read, to stand in their aisles unless we would have looked a little closer to them. How is that any different from what you're doing? Because there's not a whip and a cotton ball in their hand?
Mm-hmm. You know, there are like thousands of interracial couples, and there's like a few that you haven't even mentioned yet either. And we also have to count Dergier, his parents. You know, we have to count him. Mm-hmm. Alyssa Williams, her parents. You know, I mean, those pretty eyes didn't come from out of nowhere, you know. And we could go even further back, you know. I mean, these are actors and athletes who have been around for a long time, and for some reason we accepted them. The other thing about that part, we have accepted most interracial couples. I guess we didn't see them until it was a year gone by that we got a chance to know these particular, you know, people, these popular people, these actors, actresses, these athletes. And it took us a while to actually get to know them, just like Tiger Woods. He's mixed, you know? And, I mean, we're like, okay, where is he from? He can't be, but then he is, you know? He is mixed. And we do have a chance to actually assess, say, okay, his parents are this. Okay, so that's the reason why he's this, you know. And like you said, I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, it's not only black, but it's also Puerto Rican, it's also Dominican, it's also, it's all. I'm going to take over all the Spanish, you know, heritages out there, because when we all do an application, and you know what I mean by this, an application saying race, you know, and there's only two. There's usually only two, you know, black or white. What's the first thing we check? We check white. Most of us check white. Me, I check black. Why do I check that? It's because from my heritage, yes, in Puerto Rico, it was Indians, but there was African-Americans there too, you know? So, I mean, the African-Americans and Indians, yes, they were there in Puerto Rico, and that's how the Taínos or Taínos came around. You know, so I cannot say I'm white because I wasn't white, you know? It was African-American, and the Indians were there in my country, just like in the Dominican Republic and other countries too. You know,
right.
I mean, it's very little. I could say that if I go further back to my great-great-grandparents, yes, there is maybe some Irish in it, but it's like maybe 10% Irish in my blood. Wow. You know, but so most of it is Taino, is Indian blood and African-American blood that's in me. That's how I got my skin color. That's how I got my hair type, you know.
Right.
I could say if we go even outside of it, for those who, I mean, like my hair type, your hair type, Katie, the hair types are like worse than ours. Yes, they will go through pain, everything, just to put it as straight as Farrah Fawcett. And we know who Farrah Fawcett is, you know?
Yeah.
Put it as straight as her, because we don't want to go back to saying, oh, you know, we don't want to go back and, you know, thinking that that's the only way that we could live our lives. No. I mean, yes, we put our hair in braids, put our hairs in dreadlocks, we put straighteners in our hair, we put relaxers in our hair to the point that we're bald.
Well, that was the thing we were speaking about. It's like, okay, I've seen parents have, you know, for my children, I would rather that whoever it is they pick somebody that's going to love them through thick and thin, through weaves or afros, through, you know, loudmouth or calm days, whatever. I have never heard of one couple say that they don't ever have a problem. A couple that has been married for 50 to 60 years ever said that in 60 years there wasn't something about their spouse that didn't get the hell on their nerves. Oh, he snores. Oh, it drives me nuts that he used to drop his pants right there when the hamper was 2 inches away. You know, oh, God, she drives me nuts because the first thing she's going to do is go bananas. I know I have ways that when something really gets to me, I will blurt stuff out now and talk later. You know, well, that's it. And the person that would be in my life would know how to go through all that and see that, okay, that came because something huge happened. Not say, oh, she's a loudmouth. My God, did she all that blah, blah, blah. That means you don't know how to handle what's there. Because a real man or a real woman knows how to look past the surface cracks and see what the foundation is. Because in a second, after I finish telling you certain things, I'll be like, now come inside and get something to eat. That's the type of things I would do. I would tell you like it is and from what I feel, what went wrong with me, and that'll be it. Now, if a person, my daughter or son, brought home somebody that was outside of our races, either or, okay, is the person a good person? Do they sell drugs? Are they involved? These are the things that I'd be looking for.
Yes, sir, ma'am.
When they get older, of course, and when they get older, does that person cheat? And even then, the heart loves what the heart loves. All right? But if that person is going to walk into my house and say I'm in a black house or I'm in a Puerto Rican house or this is a nigger and a spick or this and this and that, then that person is just an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Do I care if they're this way or that way? No. I don't want to hear anybody telling me how could you let your person, you know, your daughter or your son date a cracker or date a this. No. My son or daughter is dating a person that's a person, that treats them right, that respects them, that supports them.
That's right.
Now, you can't get bored with something because, you know, somebody came along and said, look at all the glitz over here, but you can have all of this if only you leave that alone. That sounds like the devil.
Yep.
That's what the devil does. Read the Bible, everybody. God gives you the choice.
I remember
him and the devil gives tricks to make you safe.
That's right. I remember my ex, he was Filipino, Puerto Rican. He was mixed. You know, I'm going, oh, I'm doing, you know, I thought it was pretty cool. I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm actually dating someone who's Filipino Puerto Rican. And the thing is, I didn't even see him as Filipino Puerto Rican until it was like later on. Later on, that I started to get to know him. I went after him for his personality, his athleticism, everything. That's all I looked at, you know? And later on, I found out, oh, wow, he's Filipino Puerto Rican. Cool, you know? I didn't care. You know, I thought that was the coolest thing. I looked at him first before nationality.
I had a woman that was prepping her 9-year-old daughter who was already light-skinned, okay? Mm-hmm. Already light-skinned, but she's African-American. And she's been prepping her daughter to live white. She told her, you're too black. You need to put it. She forced this girl to wear not contact lenses that she needs to see with, but just for fashion. She made her put blue contacts in her eyes every day. Made sure she had about 2 or 3 backup pairs in case one got lost or ripped or whatever. Telling her, you don't hang around them black people. You don't. And this woman, trust me when I tell you, is black. I heard a white person doing the same thing in reverse. You need to go get yourself a black man, honey. So what is it about the pain of your own identity that causes you to have such hatred for other people or to come out of where you are? God made you who you are. You're supposed to make an example about what your benefits and your merits are. What are you good at doing? It shouldn't matter if you live a certain place. It shouldn't do whatever. Maybe the whole idea is for you to be in all that you are in so that you can take exactly what you are and go out there and make a difference and say, I'm here and I love everything despite where I came from. I'm here to represent the part of my race or my world or that way of thinking that doesn't exist. I'm here to explain why it does exist and how we can change it. And like I said, I have no problem with who the heart loves. The heart loves what it loves. But if that is not the reason why, if your mentality, like this ignorant lawyer person named Terrence, says, if another person who would be the first person on the opposite end of ridicule and disruption from somebody who found him a little too not appropriate for their world, would sit there and say something like that. That's not a person that's going with another person because they're in love. That's a person seeking out what they feel are the only best options. And how damn dare you? How dare you? How dare anybody say who's not good enough for another person? Or to be loved, or to be in a relationship. No one has that right. I do understand the older generation trying to keep the race alive because it's been tried to be wiped out so long ago. And for those of you, as I said before, that have a heart of gold, regardless of what you are, and everybody's acceptable to you and people, great. You continue to do that so that we can continue to fight against this ignorance and this nonsense. But do understand that what it is that you've never been through, when you hear certain things that are confusing to you, try to get to the bottom of where it's coming from. Try to read up on histories and read up on past patterns. Start trying to make connections so that you don't start to see that person simply as a racist or an ignorant person. Some of these things are not coming from racism. Some of these things are coming from pain. But to those of you that particular resentment and the reasons why it applies to, shame on you. How often has a couple walked in and the parents already didn't like the person that you're going to introduce them to you simply because they're not trying to get past what they've been taught for so many years? They're not trying to embrace the fact that what once was their biggest, most cruel enemy has a good side to it and can make a difference. Ignorance is a killer. Okay? Closed-mindedness is fatal. But having vanity airs that cost a person a status in someone else's mind, that causes their self-esteem to be shot down. Because you are ignorant and you got standards. You have standards that you've created to say what's best and what isn't. And you're using the power that you've achieved on that person's back to make this standard a public acceptance. That's like, yes, in order for you to be successful, you must walk with this. For you to take that power to make that ignorance be something that is powerful, you should be smacked. I'm going to take a break. When I get back, we'll continue this discussion. Lady Diamond, thank you for, you know, being here with your contributions tonight, okay? I'm going to figure out what would go with this topic today. I don't know. We're here in Marvin, everybody. Marvin, preach, Marvin. All right. Going out with Marvin Gaye. What's going on? Be back in 3.5.
Let's go.
Hey, what's up, man?
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. See, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light. It's fine. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on?
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett. And I'm your host, Katie Barnett. All right, we have tackled the resentment of interracial relationships from the angle of race. I'm going to bring in Lady Diamond back in, and I want to go to another angle. Okay, Lady Diamond, I brought up the part in the articles that I was referencing today that showed people, of course, we know about the old-time generation resentment. We spoke about why African-Americans have the resentment towards interracial couples, you know, being together. We spoke about people that just got plain ignorance. Now, that's on the racism side. Now, let's talk about another angle, okay, and something that was brought up with that same Black Magazine article. Okay, there's another factor. A lot of people are curious to know what it's like to be on the other side. And how do you feel about that?
Feel about?
About, you know, interracial dating happening simply because one race is curious about another race. Do you think that should be a factor?
Repeat that. That one race is what?
One race is curious to know what it would be like to be with a person from another race. Do you think that should
that's
be a factor?
You know what? I've had a friend of mine. He actually was a he's also mixed. He's Italian. He's Puerto Rican Italian, and he said to himself that he would like to know how it is to date a Chinese girl. And I'm like, okay, so why don't you, you know, check her out? I mean, is it because you have interest in her or what? And the way he said it, I almost burst out laughing. The reasoning of why he would like to date a Chinese girl. And my mother said it, oh, my gosh. And, I'm not going to say it on the air because it's kind of perverted in a way, you know. And I'm telling him, listen, she's the same way as every woman out there. The only thing is, she just has chinky eyes and straight hair. That's it. There's nothing different but that. Our sexual bodies are all the same way. And I just would like to know if there's anything different. I said, well, just that she speaks another language. You know, and that's it. But I know people that they would like to, date outside and say, I would like to know how it feels to date someone from Britain or from Japan or from. And, I mean, one reason is because of that, to see how they are in bed. That's, like, the biggest reason, to see how they are in bed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then that goes to, okay, so here we are. It goes back to what I believe is that if it's a love match, it should be about love and about the person getting to know who that person is, if this is what it's going to be. There should be no interest about you trying to deal with somebody simply because you're curious as to know what it would be like to be with that person. Now, I just read a little passage. I mean, I'm about to read a little passage that sort of bothers me but doesn't surprise me in the same way. But in the same article, it says, just like any same-race relationship, one would really need to look deep enough at the reason a Black man or a white woman decides to enter into an interracial relationship. Some of it is plain superficiality, okay? In many cases, especially in the pop culture, amidst the who's who of Hollywood, Black athletes, actors, and entertainers are shown parading something quote-unquote, other than Black, on their arms. It's become a trophy trend, bringing a whole new meaning to the who are you wearing on the red carpet. And God knows, in 9 months or so, if that long, a new and improved, more exotic woman will replace her. You know?
Yeah. That seems like the most important thing. Who are they wearing?
It comes to a point where, like I said, it's no problem whatsoever if this was something that, two people,
hung out together. It started to get more than what it was. You know, you became friends, and then you dated, and then it went further than that. This person became something that you want to see and have for the rest of your life. You know, you could see yourself laughing, that person does whatever. But then what?
Hmm.
You know, if it's other than that, then what? Because that's the relationship, the love, the culture of love, the romance, the art, that's the stuff that's supposed to carry you to the grave. This person is supposed to be by your side to the grave. And the bottom line is, whether it's because of curiosity, whether it's because of, you know, it's different, even if the bottom line for some ignorant people are, they're just better than you. Their culture, their race, everything about them just says better. If that person doesn't have your heart, it's just another dating game, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
So for those of you that are in it for the vanity sake, the appearance's sake, pretty much, what are you getting from it?
Exactly.
So all of the hurt, the insulting, the blatant, I don't know, kicking down to the race that you come from, you did all of that, and you know, the person doesn't have your heart anyway?
Mm-hmm.
That's sad and it's ignorant. Those of you that feel like holding in and touching in on this subject, you don't have to give your name. You can just give your viewpoint. We welcome all of it. We don't bite. 347-327-9967. Join us in. We have about 43 minutes left in the broadcast. So call in and let us know what you think. If you're in a situation and you have been a victim or the recipient of people for whatever reason, call in and tell us, and let us talk about it. Okay? Back to you, Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at getting back to the lady who said that a lot of the ignorance with the racism part of it that spills over to the way people view interracial relationships comes from an internal fight amongst each other. So I agree with her on that. How the hell do you want to tell another race not to call you certain things, not to call you certain words, not to view you as such, but you're doing the same thing? Now, if you're doing it to yourself, how are you going to be able to have an objective view about an interracial couple? You're not going to see it as anything other than the poison that you're spilling among yourself. So I agree with her on that.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that, too. It reminds me, I'm sorry I got you off, but it reminds me, there was a cartoon called The Boondocks. And I've always watched it on Cartoon Network. And it was a part of The Boondocks that they brought Martin Luther King back. And Martin Luther King, he's trying to give a speech. And he sees everybody making a ruckus, being loud, everybody calling each other names. And he just went off on them. And he's like, that is something that you have no problem calling yourselves what you don't want to be called, but then you are exactly what you call yourself now. You know, he called them all ignorant. He actually called them all ignorant. He said, that's exactly what you are. You don't want to be called that, but then you have no problem calling each other that. So you just gave yourself the name of it. And he's like, whose fault is it? It's your fault for calling yourself that. So then you give other people an opportunity to say it because they think it's okay.
Right. Absolutely right. I hear it. Now, notice when I brought that point up, listeners, I didn't specifically say African-Americans because in all of the cultures that I'm in, I've seen inter-fighting about color, about skin, about hair, about bodies, about teeth, about nose. I've seen it among all of my bloodline, okay? And what gets me is I see the Indian community. Okay, the Native Americans. And if you have 1/23 of blood, of Indian blood in you, you're considered an Indian. You could come from a black father, a white mother, it doesn't matter. If you have Indian in your blood, anywhere up in your upline, you are considered an Indian to them.
which gives you rights to their doctors, their benefits, their community programs. They give you that because regardless of what you want of their own. But do they walk outside and say you cannot marry this person, marry that person? I haven't seen it. Not to say that there's not a rule amongst everybody's culture, but the rule should not apply to who you love, whether or not it's something that's been in place for many years. When does the word change become an accepted practice? Why is it everybody wants to accept technology changing? Don't mind that robots are taking over what you worked hard every day to get up and go do. Never mind that somewhere down the line, we're probably going to have to submit to robots being told what to do and how to report to work. So change is okay for them to take over humanity as a whole. But it's not okay for you to break some stupid racial tradition to allow people to love who they love and accept them simply as family because they're good people. Not saying mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers that if this person that your relative or your friend brought in winds up being an abusive piece of garbage, that you don't dislike them for that purpose. Because that would have nothing to do with race or whether they're, you know, from the Argentinian side of the world of Venezuela. It would have to do with the fact that they're just a mean-ass idiot, excuse the French. That they're just a human piece of garbage that picked their hands up to beat the person that they love. Why not let that be the deciding factor on what it is you find wrong with this person? And even then, certain things still have to be up to the person that they're with. But for those of you, let's see, what should we call you? Let's just call you ignorant people, okay, that decide to use a person. Use what they're capable of. Use what they are allowed to do that you couldn't think of doing on your own if you were given an instruction guide step by step that had your back the whole way from nothing to the big something. That woman or that man that stood right there with you when you were doing nothing but playing street hoops with your local guys around the corner. And it was all fine and dandy, and everything about that person was great until you got to that very, very, very big goal that all of that was being done for you to get to. And you decide that that person isn't good enough to be seen with you in public at the day that you accept your award or your recognition or your big press conference. They don't even deserve the right to ask credit for having been there, done that with you. Now everything that was great and you loved about that person suddenly became not in your best interest. So now that's a good reason, a good scapegoat for you to say in public as to why that didn't work out. To convince yourself that's nagging at you, that's conscious of nagging at you, that it was okay what you did. To those of you that are that way, you should go home and look at yourself in the mirror, smack your butts a couple of times. Not in celebration, but in discipline, because that's just ridiculous. And that makes you no better from the oppressors before you. Another part of this article that I wanted to bring up that actually makes perfect sense to those of you that are guilty of that particular infraction. Okay? Many Black women feel, and a lot of older people feel, that the Black men who complain about their attitude seek interracial relationships as a way of avoiding dealing with their own issues, using race as a scapegoat, the determining factor, if you will. Many Black women believe the intensity of their attitude is simply their way of not putting up with anyone's nonsense, and Black men don't want to deal with that. That I will agree wholeheartedly is the truth, except there are extremes that have nothing to do with that, or they take it to an extreme. Either way, you are all responsible for what you put out there and who you are. You are responsible for the type of person you choose to be, the type of character you portray, and that's what you should be determined by, or things about you should be determined on. Not simply what's visible to the eye before you've opened your mouth or presented yourself. That's like you signing up an application for an employment position. You're going into their waiting room, and your boss, that's about the, your potential boss, is looking outside of his a crack in his office door or through his office window, looking at the group of candidates that's sitting in the waiting area and picking out right off the bat who he's not even going to give a chance to. Meanwhile, the one that he wants not to pick is the one that's going to give his company the biggest boost it ever has. Do I have a problem with interracial relationships? I do not. Unless it was premeditated or predetermined that once they used the person they were with, they were not going to have them as part of the big break. They were going to be on their way out anyway. That's a problem. Too much internal ignorance being spread amongst ourselves allows us not to be able to embrace the benefits of adversity, the benefits of other cultures. Too much old-time fights and riots is getting in the way of the very change that these people fought for. Some of them are getting in their own way because they're teaching their next generations to do the same. On the other hand, I can understand, you know, the same way we were being eliminated so that their race could continue and there won't be any mixing of blood, as they say, I understand maybe why somebody else would feel that they were entitled to do the same thing. But in the end, it's about God's choice and the person's heart. And if God is feeling that maybe the time for change is going to happen by sending your son or your daughter, someone you would never dream of allowing on your doorstep, there will be nothing you can do about it, except now to make the choice of what you're going to do from here on. Now there's a kid involved. There's a grandchild. You're going to knock off your relationship with the next generation because you can't get past your prejudices, your ignorance, your short-sightedness, and give that person a chance simply because they came from a place that they can't help being a part of. Now, if that person was cheating on your son or your daughter, that's a different story. Now you have something about them that's not a good thing. If that man or that woman was beating your son, because yes, there are women abusers. If that woman was making your son feel like less than a man, no matter how good a man he is, yes. That can happen whether she's black, white, red, striped, zebra, Chinese, it doesn't matter. Should you tell one culture that they should be more like another culture and then you'd be okay with them? No. Who are you? I've seen Latina couples not have problems among themselves. I've seen Caribbean cultures go at it with each other because one's not from Haiti, the other one's from this West Indies. That one has better hair. This part of the settlement was taken over by this. What does that matter in the event of the heart? What does it matter based on what God made us to be? And if the person is in love, and they're really in love, and you've seen this person go from looking for the right person, being disappointed over and over again, being hurt by the wrong people, and this person put a smile on their face that they haven't had in years, why on earth would anybody have a problem with it? Elaine, your thoughts. Lady Diamond?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. My thoughts are interracial couples, it should just let it happen. It is what it is. If one person is attracted to another person, not because, you know, and they're not looking at that person because of their skin color, their race, or their nationality, or anything like that, then it shouldn't be a problem. It's whatever is in that person's heart that they see the most. You know, and, I mean, like, I put myself as an example that I was going out with someone that he was mixed. And I didn't even know anything about it because I didn't even care much about it. I didn't care about it at all, about where he came from or anything like that. All I care about was what he was. You know, that we both shared like the same thing. We both shared almost the same thing. And that's what, you know, that's what attracted me to him. And I know that's what also attracted him to me. And then when we found what each other's races, I was like, okay, cool. We didn't care, you know, and we just kept on from there. And it should be the same thing for everybody else. They shouldn't see someone as, oh, you know, you're from here and you're this skin color. I shouldn't even be with you because, you know, it's like turning back time. Nobody should be looking at it that way. They should at least go forward and say, you know what? I don't really don't care where you're from. I really don't care where your parents are from. I don't care what skin color you are. All I know is that I'm in love with you and I want to, you know, I would like to build a relationship with you. And no matter what happens from here on out, as long as we stick together, that's what should be best for us. You know, and we shouldn't let our ancestors or, you know, people who are living today get in the way of this. You know, it's your decision. You want to go out with someone who's outside of where you're from, it shouldn't matter. It's what you choose, what you feel is right, what you feel is right for you. And the person feels that, you know, they don't want to go out with this particular person because they are loud, they are nasty, they are, you know, a certain way, then, you know what, I don't even know why they're looking that way. You know, they shouldn't even look at that way in the first place. That, you know, they should also look at themselves and say, did I start from there too? And just because I got myself better does not mean that I should think any less of the person that was the way I am. You know?
Right.
And they should never think any less than that person because most likely they were the same way too. And they still are to this day too. Maybe a little more mature, whatever they call it. But still, they should never down someone else who was in the same level as they are. You know? Also, you know, it's also not only interracial, it's also about where you're from. You know, like living.
Right.
Like I'm from the Lower East Side. And I will, you know, I have no problem dating someone outside the Lower East Side. You know, and then I had one person tell me, oh, I don't want to date no one in the Lower East Side because everybody in the Lower East Side has already kissed each other. That's not true.
Right.
You know, I'm like, that's not true because I didn't kiss anybody in the Lower East Side. You know, I know people from Queens, Brooklyn, Bronx. I'm not saying that I dated all of them. But still, you know, it shouldn't matter who or where you're from at all. It should not matter at all. I live in Lower Manhattan. You know, my brother could be living in Brooklyn. My brother could be living in the Bronx. As long as I could be with him and we're fine and he gives me my child and everything, that's all that should matter, you know, especially
right.
Like nationality-wise too. Oh, my family's from Puerto Rico. My family's from DR. My family's better than your family. Okay, good for you. But what about you and me? No,
well,
what
that's
not
what we're saying. It should not be, and Cola, I see you there. I'm going to bring you in a minute. It should not be about, you know, prejudices or ignorances or things to that effect. It shouldn't be. But like I said before, my only problem with an interracial relationship would be is if the one person that went out there to seek outside of their race because the person that they're with doesn't fit into some future success story. That's the problem. Let me bring in our next caller.
Okay.
Let's bring in our next caller. One second. Welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Good evening, ladies. God bless you both and your families.
Hi there,
good evening,
Bob.
First of all, I have a question for not just you and everybody. But for everybody that is listening into the radio station right now, first of all, the question I'm going to ask is, what color is love?
Indeed.
Can anybody tell me what color love is? Because the way I get it is that first off, love is God, period. And if you read the word of God, when he talks about love in the Bible, there's no mention of any color, I don't think.
No.
If all the lights, if we were to lose all the lights or even lose our sight, could we see any color? So, to me, is what is your heart telling you? What do you feel in your heart? What do you feel in your mind? You know, and if it's not real, it's not love.
you know. So I just can't understand the way people are looking at things today. It's been, and this negativeness and this ignorance has been around for ages, and it's a very sad thing. It just makes me question, when are people going to eventually wake up and start living the lives the way our lives are supposed to be lived, and that's supposed to be living in love. You know, you can't, that's not, and they take that word and they use it so freely today. It's like, it's just like, well, it's just a regular word and I could just toss it out there anyway. No.
Oh, yes.
Love is a feeling, it's a reaction, it's a response, it's something that makes your toes tingle when you feel it, you know? That's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a good feeling. How can you can't hurt someone and say that you love them? Because if you're hurting them, you can't possibly love them. There's no way. It makes no sense at all. And until people see that and realize that, stop having hallucinations with yourself. You know, when it comes to the realization, love is love. It doesn't have any color. You know, it's just what it says it is love, and people need to start recognizing that.
Thank you for that. Well, Deacon, there was the reason for the show tonight was to try to get into the several different reasons of resentment for interracial couples. So now let me ask you this. One of the things that is constantly, and I think it's the most common, is a lot of people feel, especially in the African American to white race, okay, that it's an insult to the race, because it usually happens when our, I'm not even going to just say the black man, even though I think it's more of a common occurrence among the black males, but black men and black women, when they get successful, start to automatically look for white to wear on their arms when the big day comes. So my viewpoint on interracial relationships is I don't have a problem with them unless it's under those circumstances. If you have taken a black woman or a black man, like I said, when all you had was a duffel bag full of dirty drawers and nothing but an oldie sock, and you could barely scrape together a bottle of soda for yourself, and this person was there for you, and everything about their attitude, their characteristics, their mannerisms, nothing seemed to bother you about it for 20 years. But the day that you finally get there, you already had in your mind that they're not going to be a good look for you. Then you go interracial. That's not a love match. That's you already excising all your options and figuring that this is the best way to look. So I have a problem with interracial relationships being built that way, because it takes away from the quality of the person that you've piggybacked off. Okay, that's how I feel. So in other words, a lot of these men that do this is saying, the woman was loud, she has an attitude, she is too mouthy, she's too bossy. But she was all of those things when she was massaging your horn toes because you didn't split it in the street hoops at the park. You know, she, you know, was saying, I don't care if you're rich or poor, just come stay with me. Forget what those people are saying about you. You're never making it to be nowhere, that you're just a dreamer. Keep dreaming and I'll help you along. All of that was okay. When she was the one person that was your pillow at the end of the day, you know, your relief when everybody else was sticking it to you, you didn't mind her being loud or bossy or mouthy or attitude even. Now that you're big, you have airs to put on, you have an image to keep up, and she doesn't fit into that image, or he doesn't fit into that image. That's my problem with it. So let me ask you, do you believe, or have you seen and believe that most of our men and women that have gotten up to the point of success definitely go white or go the other way? And I'm asking that because I'm trying.
Well, I do see that, and my reaction to that is, well, that's not really a relationship. Those people that do things like that, they just want a trophy. They don't really want somebody that they love, because if you make it and the person that was there with you while you were struggling before you made it, and then you drop them and you just want to go get you something that looks good on your arm, that's just a trophy. That's not really love. You just let love go because that was the person that was with you through hell and high water. That's not love what you have hanging on your arm now. No, that's just a trophy. Something that you just pull out the closet and show it off and say, hey, look at me. Look at me. Look what I got over here. No. That has nothing to do with love. As a matter of fact, you don't even have respect for that. And then as far as a black woman, it's not just a black woman. I could say a Puerto Rican woman. I don't want a woman that's not going to voice her opinion or tell me how she feels about anything. And especially if you're in a relationship, that's supposed to be a partnership in the first place.
That's what one of my older listeners wrote in and said. It seems like you, when you get to the point of success, something that and this person is pretty up there in age, and they've walked the walk of the civil rights movement and everything. And they said it's not that they have a problem with the race per se. It's just that from all that they have walked and been through and seen, from all that they've seen from, you know, people saying that we weren't supposed to be accepted in as people, okay, to know that the minute these people do something that was forbidden, they achieve things that are unheard of. To go back and sort of giving it back to the same people who tried to stop it, it's like throwing away your partnership for, like you said, a trophy. So I understand where they're coming from. But at the bottom line, I also believe that your heart is going to do what it wants to do. At the end of the day, it should be about that person that will tell you off if they feel you're doing less than your best and they love you like that.
Mm-hmm.
That will be a little firm about saying, listen, you know, I support you in everything that you do, but I'm telling you, this is going to hurt you. I'm telling you that you think you're slick, and I know what's going on, and I've seen it. Don't lie to me about things. At least tell me what's up so that I know what I'm dealing with. Okay?
Right.
That type of person, and saying at the end of it, I love you anyway. Whether that person comes in the form of a Chinese woman, an Italian woman, a black woman, that should be what it's about, no matter what the race is.
Right.
But when you excise or cut off everybody having a fair shot at the apple, that's when it puts a bad look on interracial relationships. So I'm sorry, sir, you were about to say.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you threw me off a little bit. Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's why I asked for
that question. That's
the second time is I want to give her the right answer.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my goodness. Wow, this is funny now. Wow, okay.
See, that's why I asked her to repeat herself so I could get it right.
yeah, because, okay, all right. Would you repeat just a little bit of that again so I can get back on track?
What I said was, a lot of my old-timer, I'm going to say old-timer, they, you know, our elders, when they write in and they speak with me, but some of them answer the pre-broadcast question to me in inbox because they feel if they say things on Facebook, it might incite a whole different type of discussion. And that nowadays, people don't know how to use social media to have decent discussions, so I understood it. But they said, having walked the walk of being either slaves themselves or slave offspring, and seeing even after slavery was supposed to be deemed over, how they were still being told that they had to stay in corners and shut their mouth and, you know, swallow their pride or do whatever. To see that the younger generation achieve things such as Tiger Woods getting into the game of golf. If you can remember, golf was never an African-American sport. Okay?
Right.
So African-American golfer that actually won the Masters. Then you have these baseball players and these basketball players. So they feel that you've achieved goals that where you would have been shot for in one time. for even thinking about dreaming to go there. Okay,
yeah.
They have a problem with interracial relationships, meaning that when those people achieve those things, those accolades that were considered a crime for us back then, to see them marry back once they achieve that status, okay, to the people, the very people in their life that stopped it, it's like an insult to them. Okay, that's what I would say.
Okay.
So how do you feel about that?
Okay. First off, if you're gonna say you're gonna go back and you think back to the way things used to be, okay, I'm a true believer in if you don't know your past, you don't know your future. But some of the things in the past you have to learn to let go of, you know, because if you hold on to them, it's gonna eat you alive. There are a lot of terrible things that happened in the past. True enough. And that's between all races. It's been some terrible things that have happened, not just with blacks. It's been with Jews. It's been with Hispanics. It's been with all types of races. There's been some type of unjust done to each race in life, period. But now I'm not saying we forget it by no means at all. We don't forget, you know, but we try and make an improvement from that past up until now. You know, and that's why things are supposed to get better as they get older. You know, it's just like you and I. You say you're supposed to get wiser as you get older. That's what we're supposed to be doing, because that would be like going out the world asshole backwards. You know, so basically what you do, you know, you used to have to go around and the people used to give you the impression like the white dolls, the Barbie dolls that they used to buy in the stores for their kids. They used to break their necks to try and get the white dolls, and then when they started making the black dolls, it was a big thing. You couldn't go in the store and find a black doll. And that's because the whites were buying up all the black dolls all of a sudden. But then you had the young black girls want the white blonde, long-haired blonde girl, blonde dolls, because they thought that was the way it was supposed to be. And then you even got to the point to where they started putting dye in their hair, bleaching their skin and stuff, because they were brainwashed by a society that had a sickness, and they was passing it on to the rest of the generation, and that wasn't right. But as far as today, like I said, love is love. It doesn't have any color. And if you happen to fall in love with somebody from another race, that's fine, but don't let it be for the wrong reason. Don't let it be for the wrong reasons.
Let it be about a love match, something that someone restored happiness to you. Don't let it be that now that you've achieved something on the backs of, you know, the struggles of your life, and then use that another thing that was brought up to me, and thank you for reminding me. It's also like you want to erase everything that's about your history, your past, your background, your childhood. You want to erase it, but then you sort of want to hold on to the tragedy of it, because then it can make you look like a big superstar success story, because you've come from, you know, living in a rundown apartment and you could barely eat anything, but yet those very struggles you don't go back to.
Right.
You don't come back to help fix. You just want to use it as your stepping up story. So with that being said, you want to acknowledge that part, but you don't want that to be on your arm when you've gotten to the point of overcoming all that. That is the reason behind that angle of resentment toward interracial couples.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Bassett and Courtney B. Vance, one very super strong Hollywood power couple.
Yeah.
Okay? You know Angela Bassett is a hell of an actress and everything else, and so is Courtney B. Vance. So those two are together, and they're strong with each other. Magic Johnson is still married to Cookie, and he put her through an AIDS scare and everything.
Yeah.
You know, so things like that. So if it's real love and it's all about really loving the person you're with who's been there for you, and that's what you see and that's in your heart and your soul, it's going to go with you to sick and sick.
Mm-hmm.
So the resentment that comes from it, for those of you who are not racist and never lived that side of life, understand that that's where it's coming from. It's not so much that they're trying to sit there and just say, you just can't be here because you're white or you're Indian or you're Asian. It's because they've seen things happen from a culture that you come from that you don't have no say-so over being a part of. That's where God chose you to be. But
right.
If we start understanding where this is coming from, maybe we can all start teaching what's real or what's really going on. And at the same time, for those of you cowards that are going the interracial route for the reasons we just discussed, like I said, go home and flog yourselves.
Yeah.
Because you know better than the slave masters who took a human race hostage.
Yes.
That's my personal opinion. That's my personal opinion. I'll say it loud. And like I said, it's on the edge for a reason. If we are sitting up there using the struggles and the pain to do things wrong or to just do what we want to do by saying that all our ancestors went through it, we didn't go through it, our ancestors did.
Right.
But then you turn around and do a practice that's exactly what they did. They took a race of people, which they knew could cultivate a land without all the fancy technology. They made it work. They were great at what they did. But instead of us being deemed in their eyes to share and learn how to use it so that we could all benefit, they decided to enslave this race and benefit themselves. And then said, work, work, work. Cultivate, cultivate, cultivate. But you're too black to be in my house, and you're too ugly to be in my car, and you're going to mess up my water fountain. So you can't be seen in public. You stay in the back. You're kind of like, so you can come inside, but just make sure you're wearing a servant's uniform and you eat in another part of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So how is that any different from anybody of any race using a person who was resourceful through the poor times, who was supportive through the bad times? All of a sudden now, they're not good enough to fit into the world they helped you build. How is that any different from being a slave master? So my bottom line in this last 7 minutes is this. Interracial couples are fine with me as long as the heart is involved. It was a heart match. It was because the person is a person that just happens to be different from you. It's not okay when that person was a predetermined focus to leave someone behind to get because that person behind them isn't good enough.
Correct.
Your final thought, Lady Diamond. Lady Diamond.
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
Your final thoughts before we log off tonight.
Well, my final thought is, like I said, you know, interracial couples, they're going to be. I mean, you know how many beautiful kids they can have. I mean, I'm going to say it just like that. I mean, you could learn from each other a lot. So I see no problem whatsoever with interracial couples. I mean, people who down others about their race and everything like that, and then they're, you know, putting themselves in a situation that they're doing their hair, they're doing their makeup in a certain way to look like another race, they're completely wrong, you know? And they should stop, I forgot the word for it, but they should just stop doing that and just, you know, more just to embrace their beauty, you know? I mean, they should embrace other races, too. They should not bash others. I mean, I agree with the interracial couples. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Okay, and you, Deacon.
Well, hey, like I say, it's love has no color, and you can't love a person on false pretenses at all. You know, if you have somebody that's been there with you through thick and thin. And then you're going to get up to the top of this ladder, and then you're going to leave them down on the 20th step of that ladder just to get you a trophy to stand up on the top of that ladder with you. That's not right. That's not right. And that person that you're standing on top, you really don't love them. You're just putting them up there and saying, you know, hello, world, look at me, you know. And that person down on that lower level of that ladder is still in love with you. And that's true love that you left behind. But what you have standing up there on top of this ladder with you, that's not love. It's just a trophy.
Thank you very much, both of you, for your time and your input as usual. I appreciate it. The bottom line is we cannot dictate what the heart loves, but if it's about a relationship, let it be for the true reasons. God is love. He has no color. He didn't give us the right to deem one person more superior than another. And at the end of the day, it is about who you love. It is about who God brought to you. But if you're going to get into a relationship at the expense, the deliberate expense of someone else, it's just wrong. So until tomorrow, everybody, I would like for you to be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Let's end the ignorance. Let's use what has been with us for this long to learn about what it is we don't like about it and make changes that's going to benefit the future, because our children are in trouble enough. Okay? It's not about what you look like on the outside. It's about who you are on the inside. That should count. So until tomorrow, everybody, God bless you. Thank you all for joining in. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. God bless you. Bye.
Good night.
On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.